Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. I'm just down at Commonwealth Stadium awaiting the arrival of the Calgary Stampeders.
Oh, that's right. They're not there till 3 o'clock.
I know.
How many of the donuts have you eaten?
You know what? I made a good decision today because I went up through the top media room, and they've got the healthy wraps, and then they've got the four things of Tim Hortons donuts just loaded with every kind you can imagine. And I stopped and I stood at the donuts for, and I'm not exaggerating, probably about a 15-second count, and changed my mind about six different times in that 15 seconds, and then amazingly walked away without taking one. Just went with the healthy wraps instead. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and I think I'm going to celebrate with like a mochaccino on the way home.
Now, drinking your calories, Rashog, best way to go about it. The best way to go about it. Now, I'm curious, when you stood there for 15 seconds, did you hear Dallas Eakins in your subconscious?
No, honestly, the first 12 seconds of it was trying to decide which one I was going to take. And then it was like the last 3 or 4 seconds where I was like, man, maybe not.
Well, it sounds like the Edmonton Oilers didn't wait very long. Yesterday on the show, Rashog, by the end, I had convinced you that Versteeg was the right option. And today...
No, I thought all along they should, man. I've been saying it for weeks. It was my idea. What are you talking about? Come on. I said it first. Check my Twitter feed. I said it first.
I love it. The Versteeg comes in, and hey, to me, it's a depth move. It's not a contract. It's a depth move. And the thing I love about it, it's as a veteran player who's going to have to prove he deserves a real contract.
Yeah, for sure. And like we talked about a little bit yesterday, I don't think you can underestimate the value of having players that are good guys, which he is, who've won. Because that, I mean, he's two cups? I mean, that just comes with immediate respect and immediate, whether he's on a PTO or not, there's immediate respect that comes with that. And yet he's, as we mentioned before, he's a light personality in the dressing room. He's a guy that will lighten the room up, and that's not a bad thing either, considering the kind of pressure that these guys are under. So, yeah, if the Oilers aren't concerned about their contract situation, if they feel like they've got room and they feel like it's going to work and gives them some options with regard to Puljujarvi, all the case that you outlined yesterday, it makes sense. And if it turns out that Chris Versteeg still has the level of game that he showed for stretches last year, then he could be a valuable piece for them for sure, and buys him some time.
Buys him some time and definitely opens the option to have Puljujarvi start in Bakersfield in the American Hockey League.
Or just move Yakupov for the... I think they haven't moved Nail yet because they haven't been able to wrap their heads around the fact that the return is going to be as minimal as it will, and they haven't had ready-made really good solutions on the right side, so they haven't been able to do that deal for a third round pick like it'll probably end up being. So they haven't been able to pull the trigger on that yet because they just, you know, number one overall pick, you're better off to just hang on to him and hope he gets himself sorted out. But if all of a sudden you got Chris Versteeg there and he's playing some good minutes for them and doing well, well, then maybe you're a little bit more comfortable just cutting bait with Nail Yakupov for that poor return because you've got somebody in your lineup who can pick up a little bit of that slack. So, the Yakupov factor in this is as interesting as the Puljujarvi and what it means for Yakupov and the likelihood that they move him if Versteeg pans out.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. You watched, I'm sure, parts of the exhibition game last night Europe and North America, and the youngsters at times skating circles around that old European team.
Man, seeing McDavid and Drouin on a line together, two of the fastest skaters in the league, flat out. And they weren't even the best line. But, yeah, the speed and the skill that was on display to me was pretty impressive. And I think we kind of need to preface it by saying Team Europe had just come together. I mean, they had one practice, and a bunch of guys had been playing in qualifying games to the Olympics, and they were had just gotten in. And so, I mean, I think we kind of need to preface it with that, but it was an impressive display of speed and skill for sure. And that team, if nothing else, is going to have enthusiasm and legs. Now, whether that helps them, gets them through into a semifinal or a final in a tournament like this, It'll sure be fun if it does. But all kinds of speed, all kinds of enthusiasm, and they had those guys on their heels for most of the night, at least of the, I watched probably 75% of it. And to me, they were on a completely different level than that Europe team.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Not a great giveaway by Draisaitl that led to the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goal.
Yeah.
And you know, interesting about that game, Johnny Gaudreau on the ice, and reports today that his agents, they're looking for $8 million. Now, Gaudreau, I know, has only played two NHL seasons. But because of him coming out of college, right, and you look at it, he's 23 years of age. I'm sure they're arguing, hey, wait a sec. If guys are 19 and they sign their entry-level deal, you know, then their second deal is a bridge deal. It's at 24. Well, he's 23. Right? I'm sure that's his argument. I'm not sure it'll wash. But what do you make of an $8 million demand from a guy who did score 78 points last season in the National Hockey League and 64 the year before?
Yeah, totally. I mean, elite offensive player already, even though he's only been in the league for a couple of years. So you can understand the agent wanting elite money. How long a term, though? I mean, that really is the question when you're dealing with Gaudreau, because if you want to buy unrestricted years off of him, those years are going to cost you more. And because he's a little bit older, he's closer to unrestricted free agency. And so if you want to do a seven-year deal with this player, you're buying more years of unrestricted free agency off of him, and the number goes up. So really, it comes down to term. How many years? If you want to go that really, really long term, well, you are going to have to pay for that. It's not going to be the same as the deal Taylor Hall did in his second contract. It's not going to be the same thing because they're not buying unrestricted years off of him in the same way. So I get it, but $8 million is pretty steep, and this will be interesting to see how Brad Treliving navigates this situation. He's got some good young players in the organization. They've done a nice job of bringing guys in, and they've got some good young players. And now the key is trying to figure out how to get everybody to fit in and for it to make sense long term. And finding them is one thing, keeping them is another.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Now, you watched McDavid. Of course, he's wearing the captaincy last night. I think you're in agreement, Shog. It's like 99.9% that he's likely to be the next captain of the Edmonton Oilers. I picked October 1st as my game.
I might up that too a little bit.
You're going to say 100?
Well, I think it's pretty clear cut. I mean, the same two who made this decision are going to make that decision. And I think it'll happen. I'm pretty certain about it. And I mean, it makes a certain amount of sense. I think you can make an argument for wanting to wait a little bit, but it's not a big deal. I mean, I think because of the new arena, because of everything being new, I think it just makes sense. It's the obvious choice. And other great players have been captains early. McDavid will be very young, but other players have done this. And when you're an elite player the way Connor already is, he'll just be himself, and he's so good that'll just be enough.
As the season gets closer, we're less than 2 weeks away now from training camp, which I guess officially training camp's today on the ice, but yesterday would be medicals. The Oilers' defense, we know they got the PTO to Versteeg. We know they've extended one to Richards, and we're hearing maybe even one to Eric Greiva. You look at the right side, though, Ryan, and you've got Larson and you've got Fane, and you know, then you got some young guys. Is Brandon Davidson, do you think, the obvious guy who moves over to the right slot on that third pairing?
Yeah, I think so. I think they would probably rather have him do it than play Darnell Nurse out of his natural position. So I think that Davidson is the obvious choice to go do that. Yeah, the righty-lefty thing is becoming a little bit of an issue for this team. They're wanting to have guys playing in the right spot, and that's not just on defense but up front. They want second-line players playing on a second line. They want fourth-line players playing on a fourth line. They don't want Mark Letestu playing as the third-line center. They don't want that anymore. The organization's had that for too long, asking players to be in positions that they have no business being in. And on the blue line, it becomes the righty-lefty thing is as much an issue. So Davidson had a really good year, and he's a little bit older. But it's not ideal for Brandon Davidson to have to come in and play the offside. It's not. And in an ideal world, he wouldn't have to. And what's a fair expectation of Brandon Davidson playing his offside right from the get-go? You expect, like, is he going to improve on his play from last year, moving over to the other side? I don't know if that's fair to expect. Yet this was a year where you'd think Brandon Davidson would be able to come in and improve on his play. So it's not ideal. And no question, they're still looking for a right-shot defenseman. Like, no question about it. But I think he's the obvious choice, because I would rather see them do it with him than Darnell Nurse.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any chance. I would hope, anyway, that that it's not Darnell Nurse. It might even be Sekera, although I think a lot of people think it's Sekera playing with Fain. But you know what? Mark Fain with Sekera. I'm still not sold that's necessarily a better second pairing.
Yeah, Fain will be interesting this year, because I think we all saw what happened last year, and I don't care what the numbers say. Mark Fain had a tough year last year, and I don't think he was prepared for the year the way he needed to be, and it showed. Like, Mark Fain did not have a quarter step to lose to begin with, and he lost a quarter step somewhere along the way. And so, I did a little reporting back on it I think it was around July 1st, I want to say, but I think he was pretty motivated this offseason. And I think at the time I was told he's hit it harder than he's ever hit it before, in better shape than he'd ever been in before, and was coming back raring to go to try and be the player that they hoped he would be when they gave him that contract. And if Mark Fain can come back and be a really steady, solid shutdown defenseman for them, and if he's got that quarter step back and he can be what they were hoping, that is a huge help for this blue line, a huge help. So to me, Mark Fain, how he looks and where he fits in on this blue line, that's a really, really important factor for this team, because just having a guy that makes that much money just be a write-off as a third-pairing guy in and out of the lineup, that's unacceptable for what they signed him for and what his role was supposed to be. And so if he can have a bounce-back year and play where he's supposed to, that's huge for this team.
Where do you think he's supposed to play?
Well, I think when they brought him in, they figured he would be a second-pairing shutdown defenseman. I think that was kind of the idea, right? That's reflective in the money they gave him. On that team, he ended up, looking at being a first-pairing guy because they just didn't have good enough defense. But he's got absolutely no business in a first-pairing. If he's in shape and playing well, I think he's shown at times he could play in a second-pairing. But ideally, he's a really good third-pairing defenseman. But last year, he wasn't either a good second-pairing defenseman and barely a good third-pairing defenseman. He was more of a depth guy with the way he was playing. So I think with Larson now in town, there'll be no pressure for him to play big minutes. But I think a second-pairing shutdown guy is what the target would be for him if things go really, really well. But if he ends up being a third-pairing guy that does the same thing, I think they'd be okay with that.
And quickly, I know you were down at Eskimos today covering the green and gold. Any information catch your eye that you gleaned from talking to the players?
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, I talked to a few of them just about kind of where their headspace was at after that loss. And I mean, they had won 3 games in a row and then ran up against the best team in the league. And they got their lunch fed to them, especially in the early going with that bad start. I think they're kind of kicking themselves for not being ready to play. And I'd be surprised if that happened again. But Mike Riley wasn't happy with his own performance. And there's a couple things in his game that he's been working hard on this week and focusing on trying to get back to. And if he does that, and it's just his footwork and his eyes and his reads and he just got away from those things. He told me today that he was trying, that normally are just natural in his game. He got away from some of that stuff, and he's going to try and get back to that this weekend. He thinks that'll make a difference for him. So nothing earth-shattering, but just getting a sense for where their heads are at after a disappointing loss in what was a measuring stick game for them.
Shocker, have yourself a good weekend. Did you enter any fantasy football leagues this year?
No, man. I got lots going on these days, so I got no time for that kind of sports play.
Shocker, What MASH? Oh, you want? Oh, I guess MASH has something he wants you to listen to.
Just do a little rap I made up. Every time I dive in my pool, it's hard to be humble. Well, I do a breaststroke through an underground tunnel and come up on the other side in a jacuzzi, being greeted by two girls that are wearing my jersey. They give me lots of hugs and kisses, and they ask me what my wish is. I say, go and get your friends, because there's going to be a party. And in the end,
Sean,
the Stanley
you know
Cup
is
a dream. And I might
get
it's Christopher Stieg.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, and I've been saying for 2 days talking about how he's the light guy in the dressing room, the goof in the room, and right there, prime example. You can find some great videos, too. Practical jokes that he played with Patrick Sharp back in their days in Chicago, and they put some of them on their website.
Oh,
it
yeah.
might be on YouTube, so if people want to take a look, I think there's some stuff of him and Patrick Sharp being dummies. So that's who the Oilers are. That's who they're adding to their room, and they're hoping he plays well enough to add him to their lineup long term.
Maybe we'll get him in the karaoke contest.
Hey, that'd be dynamite. We know he can rap better than you already.
Well, let's not go that far, Shago. You know that's not true. That's not true at all. Have yourself a good Friday.
Okay, buddy, you too.